Let's together recite the opening homage from the Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way. And you should join your hands at your heart.
I prostrate to the one who teaches that whatever is dependently arisen does not arise, does not cease, is not permanent, is not extinct, does not come, does not go, and is neither one thing nor different things. I prostrate to the perfect Buddha, the supreme of all who speak, who completely dissolves all fabrications and teaches peace.
Now let's sing Milarepa's supplication to the Guru who has realized basic selflessness.
To the Guru who has realized basic selflessness, I pray in all with body, speech, and mind. Please bless us, me, and all my students to come, that we too realize basic selflessness. Please hold us in compassion's steady grip that keeps our skandhas free of ego idea.
Loike don lodon jing tum da dam ekenam rogen je doge je zaba dam je ke do doge je don do hola zo tan rova nam ka da da nyam be simjin tam je je don do zo be san je je kom ba do bar cha te je do tam be chu la to song gom zum je zom bar je wo nyam be sam ba san jo jo do to je bo ngon do tan de sim bar cha.
Before listening to the teachings, please give rise to the supreme motivation of bodhicitta, which means that for the benefit of all sentient beings who are as limitless in number as the sky is vast, we aim to establish them in the state of complete and perfect enlightenment. We know that in order to do this, we must listen to, reflect upon and meditate on the teachings of the genuine Dharma with all of the enthusiasm we can muster in our hearts. This is the supreme motivation of bodhicitta. Please give rise to it and listen.
Dembaye Nam Rang Yinji Madhopa, Rang Yinji Meba, Kunzo to Tender Nans and the Tember.
The Heart of Wisdom Sutra teaches about the emptiness of five topics: the five aggregates, the 12 sources of consciousness, the 18 potentials, the 12 links of dependent arising, and the four noble truths. All of these the sutra teaches to be mere appearances that are dependently arisen, that at the same time they lack any inherent nature. They are of the nature of emptiness. And the way in which these phenomena are empty is described in the following manner. Thus, all phenomena are emptiness. They have no characteristics, no birth, no cessation, no stains, no freedom from stains, no increase, no decrease. This is the way in which phenomena are empty. If you'd like to follow along with this in the book, it's on page 194. The second full paragraph from the top that reads, thus, Shariputra, all phenomena are emptiness. They have no characteristics, no birth, no cessation, no stains, no freedom from stains, no decrease, and no increase. The first way in which phenomena are taught to be empty here is that they have no characteristics. Characteristics are one part of a pair. The pair is the defining characteristics of any phenomenon and the definiendum, meaning that which is defined by those characteristics. You could also say that the characteristics are the basis to which a name is given, and the definiendum is the name that is given to that basis. So if we take an example with fire, then that which is hot and burning, that object that has the characteristics of being hot and burning, is the basis to which a name is given, and fire is the name given to that basis. So here, when the sutra says that phenomena have no characteristics, it means that the actual phenomenon itself, the actual characteristics that appear, are empty of their own essence. So how is that the case? If we stick with the example of fire, then the way fire appears is that it seems like there's something actually there that's hot and burning, and we think that there's something actually there that's hot and burning, and if we put our hand in it, we have the experience of it being hot and burning. But that's just its appearance. Because when we investigate with our precise knowledge, then the fire breaks down. When we try to find some truly existent substance there, first we get to the smaller particles of the fire, and then we get down to the atomic particles and the subatomic particles until we realize that there is nothing actually inherently there that doesn't break down further. We can't find anything that has an essence of its own. And so the fire, that which is hot and burning, is actually empty of its own essence. And the Buddha taught this also in the 16 emptinesses when he taught the emptiness of defining characteristics. The emptiness of defining characteristics is the same as what the sutra is teaching here when it says phenomena have no characteristics. Basically, that this object that seems to have these qualities is empty of its own essence. About this basis of characteristics, the Shravakayana schools would have a different opinion. The philosophical schools of the Shravakayana, there are two of them. The first one is called the Vaibhashika, or the particularist school. And the particularist school says that there does truly exist the most subtle particle of matter that has no parts, meaning it can't be divided any further. And also, at the same time, there truly exists an indivisible moment of mind, of consciousness, that cannot be broken down any further. But the Mahayana does not accept this, because the Mahayana looks through the lens of analysis and sees that it's impossible that there could be any physical entity, no matter how small, that was not comprised of parts, that did not break down into smaller parts. And therefore, a partless particle cannot truly exist. This roughly follows the way that scientists have evolved in their thinking too, because in earlier times, scientists believed that there was a fundamental building block of matter, a tiniest particle that could not be broken down any further. But now many scientists do not accept that, do not believe that there is some existent particle that has no parts. And therefore, they don't believe that these tiniest particles of matter truly exist with any essence of their own. But you may know more about this than I do. You can also think of how it is that when you take a shower, then when you have the hot water on, then when all of the water is directed towards your body, then that water feels hot. But then when the water that's on the sides, that's kind of flowing off to the sides, isn't hot, it's cold. And in this way, we can analyze in a very coarse way to see how the heat breaks down when you start breaking the particles down into their more basic components. It's a coarse way of analysis, but it's still good for us to think of.
mingdong dret ten zembe kheba namdo gan chenye re. Tene mingdong mingdong dong dret ten zemba te namdo gan chenye re. Yang thela che na yang mato pare.
If we look now at thoughts, the defining characteristics of thoughts are that thoughts think that a name and an object to which that name is given are the same thing. They mix together objects and names. That's the function of thoughts. And if we examine these defining characteristics as well, we find that they do not truly exist either.
Pena kechegma kechegma te mata pare kechegma ta mata ba me mata ba ni de zin zin ban dawla tene nam do sire.
For example, if you take one small instant of time and you give it the name impermanent, then what does that? It's a thought. It's a thought that mixes together this instant of time and the label impermanent.
Tene zogda terro rigza nganda wajina toda je wanghi jyorda nama ten tsenyere tela zogda terro rigza shi takpa ten tsunzare mengre. Te mengdang ton chik to deromba kapso mengdang ton chik to zembe kheba tela namdo sikre.
Or in terms of the outer objects that we perceive, forms, sounds, smells, tastes, and bodily sensations, then our sense consciousnesses perceive these objects non-conceptually. And therefore, what they are perceiving is the defining characteristics of these outer objects. What thoughts then do is give names to these defining characteristics, and not only that, but think that the name and the object are the same thing. So when mind is doing that, it is its conceptual aspect that is doing it.
Teleje na main karre, main jupe tonde karre, main da tonne deten zebe namdo tela kadendo. Namdo la yem doga, kadon doga, roban doga, oan doga, jeban doga, kakban doga, jena, tene, menye bare, menye ba madro bare, tesena tene, tanda, senyi tongbanyere.
When we analyze, then, we can look and see there is an object, what is that, and then identify what the name that we give to this object is, and then see how we make this connection between the name and the object. And what is it that makes this connection? It is thought. And when we look for thought, then we don't find anything, because we don't find anything that has any shape or color, or identifiable location, or arising, abiding, or ceasing. We can't find any of these things at all, and therefore, the defining characteristics of thoughts do not truly exist.
Tene tajor ko no chu tam che tongpa ni yin te, tenyi ma dropa se, tenyi tongpa ni yin pa se.
If we put this first part of the statement in the sutra into the form of a logical reasoning, we would say, given all phenomena, their nature is emptiness because they do not have any truly existent defining characteristics. Their nature is emptiness because their defining characteristics are emptiness.
Tene nye ba tene me ba ma ji ba song ba re. 마치 바테 데네 군조도 텐데 낭잔도 제바 요나야 돈 담바르마 제바 마바 문람제 나온다고 송바레
Next, the sutra says that there is no birth. Birth or arising of phenomena appears in relative reality, but that appearance is just like the appearance of something arising or occurring in a dream. It doesn't have any nature of its own. Its nature is emptiness. In order to prove with logical reasoning that arising does not truly occur, that arising doesn't happen in the genuine nature of reality, Nagarjuna wrote one whole chapter. It's the first chapter of the text. It's called An Examination of Causal Conditions, and it has many logical reasonings to prove this point. But one of them that sums it all up, we can find in the appendix on page 183, if you have the book. It reads, not from self, not from other, not from both, nor without cause. Things do not arise at any place, at any time. So let's recite this together. Not from self, not from other, not from both, nor without cause, things do not arise at any place, at any time.
Tande donga la java yina, donga donga de dale java mar, donga yang yang tapa java me bar. Donga cheva mebe jumjin kararasana, donga donga rangle cheva mare, donga donga le cheva yina, donga machi be kongne, dene chesi jijo donga de gogundo. Machi be kongne, donga gube sena, dene tanda, yanjer cheva la tome bata, donga yuna yang, yanjer che gona, dene donga tokwa mebar, tarbe chung yore. Dene donga yin le cheba mare, donga ran le ngowa ran yin yin do chorba, tate chorba ta tan palang rao, donga je jyotan donga yin tate yina, yang jo yime tamche le, drevo yime tamche cheba ta. Dene meche le mwenpa tokpo cheba tarwe chung yo bare, tese na yin le cheba mare. Ona da yin nyega le cheba menam nyana, Dada yin nika le cheva mare, dakje la jyoepe rekpe noezi yam chung ta, yin je la jyoepe rekpe noezi si chung yoepe se na, nika le yin cheva mare. Anna jume le cheva yin sa na, jume le cheva yin na, jyo mokupe se na, ta do cheva ta, ta do me cheva chung yoepe. Kangi se na, yang me na ta do che dekere, jyum tsen kare, jyo mokupe se. Yang na ta do che ke mare, jyum tsen che re, jyo mokupe se na, ta do che ke mare. Tetaba chung yoba sena, dine donga den taikele machibare. Anna donga taikele machibare na ngalso donga nyongado, ngonsum to nyongado karra sena, te donga ton tambar cheva mene yang, tete nangzan to cheva yoba, malam che donga rao. Malam to mei chikpa donga chui cheva donga te, dine ngone yomare cheva yomare. Chin te mei tan cho mebe sena, mei te mei chikpa donga tan chui cheva donga te yang, Rangi ji me bar ina de la kunzo to chen ten de nang zan re. Kunzo to ten de nang zan, nang dong ye me zan re. Dene ne luk to na dene ngomza che wa mela re be. Ema kamsung kurbe chi me ki na wa ngomza che sumba na yin cha kare. Yeah.
Let's apply this analysis to suffering and examine suffering to see if it truly arises or not? Well, the first possibility is that the suffering would come from itself. But suffering doesn't produce itself. If we have some suffering, then it's not like the suffering we experience produced itself. Because if it produced itself, then that would mean it would have to exist before it arose in order to bring itself into existence. But if that were the case, if it already existed, then why would it need to arise again? So if the suffering arose from itself, then the word arising would be meaningless, because arising means something comes into existence anew. So if something arose from itself, arising would be meaningless. Even so, if it still arose anyway, then it would, normally the way it is that when something exists, it stops arising. But here, if something arises from itself, then it has to arise after it exists already. So nothing would stop the process of arising. It would go on arising into the infinite future. So the two faults, then, of the idea that something comes from itself are that arising would, in that case, be meaningless and be endless. So the suffering doesn't arise from itself. At the same time, it doesn't arise from something different from itself. Because whatever is different from the suffering doesn't have any connection to it. It exists as an independent entity. Just like a horse and a cow exist as independent entities. And if it were the case that the suffering could come from something that it didn't have any connection with, then it would be able to arise from anything. And all phenomena would be able to arise from all other things that were their causes and also that were not their causes. So you could have pitch darkness arising from fire and lots of other absurd examples, because you could have different things arising from other different things with which they had no connection. So clearly, that's not the case. So the suffering doesn't arise from something that's different from itself either. So then you might think, well, maybe it comes from combination of both itself and something different than itself. The problem with this idea, if we analyze it, is that it has all of the faults of the first two views put together. All of the faults inherent in thinking something arises from itself, and all of the faults inherent in thinking that it arises from something different than itself are present in this idea that it comes from both itself and something different from itself. Well, the final possibility is that the suffering just arises at random without any cause at all. The absurdity of this view, however, is that there's no connection anymore between causes and their results. And so if that were the case, then the suffering would either always arise, because it wouldn't matter if its causes and conditions were present or not, it would arise anyway, or it would never arise, because it wouldn't matter if its causes and conditions were present or not. Nothing could bring it into existence, because it would be divorced from any connection with its causes and conditions. So in this way, when we examine all four possibilities, we can find no arising from any of them. And therefore, we can conclude, since there is no other possibility, that the suffering doesn't truly arise. Well, then the question is, if it doesn't truly arise, then why do I experience it? And what is the nature of my experience of suffering? To understand that, it's helpful to think of the example of a dream in which you can suffer tremendously from being burned in a fire or being drowned in a river of water or through any other cause. But the fire isn't really there, and the water has no essence of its own either. And so the suffering that arises from these two appearances can't truly exist because the causes of the suffering are not really existent and there's nothing being produced from them actually. So the suffering then is just a dependently arisen mere appearance. It's a conceptual projection that we make when we don't know that we're dreaming. If we could recognize that we're dreaming, then the suffering would not be there at all. And we would experience these phenomena as miraculous appearance and emptiness, which is what they really are. And this is the way that Milarepa experiences samsara and why he sings Emma, the phenomena of the three realms of samsara. While not existing, they appear. How incredibly amazing.
Dene manga akhiram nyambo le ta manga pa songre. Manga pa jumtsen kare se na jumtsen de maje pare. Dunga rangin je gapa me te, dunga je rangin je maje pa se. Jeba yo na gapa yo na yo gupa yina yang, jeba me pa se na dunga gapa me pare. Dunga je ne lo jenga da drawa Te ta tupe te malang je dunga la jarga pare. Malanje Dongala Jana to Le Lava Yombre. This and Tumbe Pe Mambosombre.
Next, the sutra teaches that there is no cessation. The reason why there is no cessation is that there's no arising in the first place. If there were arising or birth, then you would necessarily have cessation and death. But since nothing really happens in the first place, then it doesn't stop happening either. And if we connect this with our example again of the dream suffering doesn't really ever begin. And so therefore, it has no truly existent end. Its nature is free of arising and cessation.
Dendro vino, tu ta to semo dungate negre. Ta to dunga ne notene caduian devan joma separe. Semna dungate, dunga demba tropesena devan joma separe. Jase cavale chunjole. Dunga teni, toyuna, chete rabga lamanos. Dunga ton tamba demba tromna, tene rabdo cavache sigmare somber.
If suffering truly existed, if the suffering we experienced were a fundamental existent part of our mind, then we would always experience it. It would always be present as an essential part of the mind. And if that were the case, we would never experience happiness because we'd always be suffering. And this is the point that the Bodhisattva Shantideva makes in his guide to the Bodhisattva's conduct. If suffering existed in genuine reality, who would even know the name happiness? How could happiness ever arise?
The name Malarebe Deng Somle Nyamba Nyeje Dengji Nyi Dedo Nyisun Zimbata.
But it's not like that. Happiness and suffering. Happiness and suffering alternate, and therefore neither of them truly exist. Their nature is equality. And this is precisely how Milarepa describes it in his song of the three types of confidence. I've gained confidence in everything as equal. This swept away my taking happiness and grief as two, exposed the ups and downs of feelings as false, and cut believing there are some to have and some to shun.
The Jumse, the Torvenyam Yung joined the Darson, Donga de Torvare, Torvenya, Torvate Nyam Yungre, Torvenyam Yung de Mulan Mulan je chorba yin do zunba yin be jum jin je de chorba nyam nyon zun do tar song re chorba nyam nyon mulan yin do zunba yin be ser na donga donga te zunba na ore ma do de be na ma ma re de be nyam nyon ma re
exposed the ups and downs of feelings as false, Milarepa sings. When we examine, as we have, using the example of the suffering in a dream, since the suffering in the dream is false, since it doesn't really occur, then the experience of that suffering, the experience of that feeling, is also the experience of something false, which we only take to be true because we conceptualize it to be like that. In actuality, it's not something truly occurring at all.
Tetar donga je ngoa rangi ne lok la che de gomba te tene tamba sanje ne jube tamju donga je khibje je lo so yang re kai se na donga je jo chu ba la jo chu ba jo pa ba la ma de pa donga rang ge ngo le kherap je che de donga je ne lok gombe donga le toron de be tene nyam le re.
This analysis is part of the tradition that Dampa Sanje taught, the practice that's called the genuine Dharma that dissolves suffering. And the way one practices the genuine Dharma that dissolves suffering is not by concerning oneself with the causes of suffering or trying to change or fix the causes of suffering, but rather looking at the essence of the suffering itself with one's precise knowledge of the true nature of reality. And when you do that and you analyze the suffering, then you can't find anything existent there. And in this way, the suffering dissolves.
This is na donga je ne lo gomba te gom samu yemba la tene donga tangdo lama donga jindo seba tangdo lama lo sore.
It's a tradition that recognizes that when one can meditate on the abiding reality, the true nature of suffering, that is a profound practice. And therefore, suffering is good. Suffering is to be embraced. That's the tradition that one follows. Meditating on the true nature of suffering is at the same time the practice of Prajna Paramita.
Tene malare pe parpu yormon kana le song pe na jo deva chob je je na ne cho donga devar kharve de somore donga de donga je ne lo to pe donga kheba ta mai ba donga devar kharve de somore donga devar kharva de tene ta nga lok je saje chembu nyamne dan thun bare donga devar kharwe de donga je ne lok tok pe donga khewa tam le la ba donga devar kharwe nga devo do song de donga devar khana ta de deva ma do ngum do.
In a song that Milarepa sang in Nepal, in a place called the Yolmo snow range, in Tiger Cave, Lion Fortress, the song of the 18 kinds of yogic joy, Milarepa sings, the suffering being bliss feels so good that feeling bad feels good. So for Milarepa, not only did the suffering dissolve, but he experienced his suffering as bliss, because he realized its true nature. And to describe suffering as bliss is in harmony with the description of the mantra tradition of Mahamudra that realizes the true nature of all mental experience is great bliss, suffering included. And that was Milarepa's experience of his suffering. He didn't only experience it as being peace, he experienced it as bliss. And if even your suffering makes you happy, then you'll be happy all the time.
Tene jarwa goetan be maban ne da jeer, maban ne da jejinani, nata maban ne da, numon maban ne da, donga maban ne da, someday, tene nail tembe maban ne da re de sombode. Te nam jinani, donga maban ne da de, mate neje na la chan chondo, chenda bono manjeba, ronyon jube jindo char, jindo char. Donga ma bang ne da in songre. Pena mate nata chungata dunta chutu kake nawa, dunta kake lo kake mayimba. Matila neje nana nyang, neje donga nyona yang. Donga la chung to taken, keks tate, pomo lo maba, donga genelo gongondo. Donga genelo gona, then a ronyo je chuba zona, then a donga ma bang ne da de songre.
Gyawa Gutsangpa, another great yogi, sang a song called The Eight Cases of Basic Goodness Not to be Shunned. And three of these relate directly to illness. Illness is not to be shunned because it's basically good. The kleshas relating to illness are not to be shunned because they're basically good. And suffering is not to be shunned because it's basically good. And in the verse about suffering, then Gotsangpa sings, "And though your whole life long is plagued by the torments of falling ill, don't think that's bad. Don't plan to get around it. Then it will be your badge, your proof of conduct of equal taste. Your suffering's not to be shunned. It's basically good." Here, Gotsangpa is singing about chronic illness, not just an illness that you have for a few days or a few months or a few years even, but something that afflicts you your whole life. About this illness, Gotsangpa sings, "Don't see it as a fault. Don't see it as an obstacle or plan to get rid of it. Meditate on its true nature. When you do that, then it will be a beautiful ornament of your realization of equal taste." And that's what we strive to have. And therefore, suffering is not to be shunned because it's basically good.
Donga genelo de don saja chembo. Donga genelo kada zoba chembo yimbejum sinjiri.
Suffering's abiding reality is prajna paramita. Suffering's abiding reality is mahamudra, bliss and emptiness. Suffering's abiding reality is Alpha Pure Dzogchen. Therefore, suffering is not to be shunned because it's basically good.
Tene Machipa Mangaba. Tai Kiram Yambola, Tama Maba, Tama da Trava Maba Sombre. Tene Tama Maba Tang, Tama Maba, Tama da Trava Maba Sijuti, Tene. Yeda yedur kanitaba yinitaba kada yeda yedur semje nelo la trama me patengure muam nelo la tambo ne trama me besena trama da trava me pare trama da trava yona tambo ne trama gogdo tambo ne trama me besena trama da trava me ba ase sombare te tanda kada da yeda da yedur jeton de mari chepai.
Then the sutra goes on to say, there are no stains and there's no freedom from stains. This is describing what in other places in the teachings is called primordial purity, primordial freedom, or alpha purity, original purity, original freedom, Because the true nature of mind has never had any stain or flaw at all. And therefore, there are no stains. It is originally pure and free. Actually, at the same time, since there are no stains, then there's no true freedom from stains either. Because to be free of stains, first you'd have to have a stain to begin with. Then you could become free of that. But since there are no stains there in the first place, then there's no freedom from stains. So the absence of stains and the freedom from stains is called original freedom, original purity. That's the true nature of mind, and that's what's being described.
Kata na dazo mazang banzang, pe chukro kale kabojong. Dine chasama jig tru, yezi jamna, then chibojong malam dana. De namdo turba samam, tender nansan remado, tambone mazamba yomare, trama yomare, tambone trama mebes and a drava yomare, yena ya trama yoba dang, and tanda, trama da trave, nama de tender nansan remalam. De yendo nimikapsong azo. Tanda drama nazo dang, drava nazo jimalam dang na yang, ne luk la drama meba, drama da drava meba. Tenda wuzumbar.
To understand how it could be that there are no stains and there's no freedom from stains, it's good to think of the example of a dream. Think of a dream where you dream of falling into a deep cesspool of excrement. So that even your head gets submerged and it goes up your nose. And then when you get out of it, you feel so sick that you want to throw up. And then you go and you take a shower and you scrub it all out off your body with soap so that you feel nice and clean. Well, all of that is just the mode of appearance. The stains in the first place and the freedom from stains don't truly exist. They're just dependently arisen mere appearances. And since the stains of the excrement never existed in the first place, then there's not really any freedom from stains either. And that's the true nature of these dream appearances. And that's the true nature of reality.
Mati seke te parche malan re, malan do trima dang, trima tapa nama here, mati seke te nimi nama re, nimi trima dang, trima trava nama here, inaya, mati seke nama te, tene trima dang, trima trava te tende nanta imbala, mati seke te tendo yong sigamare, tene malam dang drao, tene chekware.
It's the case that we spend almost half our life with dream appearances, experiencing dream appearances of stains and the freedom from stains and so forth. And the other half, a little bit more than half, we spend with daytime appearances. And it would be impossible for these two sets of appearances to be of different substance. For one to be truly existent and the other to be false, then there'd be no connection. The way that they actually are is that they're of the same quality, that dream appearances and daytime appearances are both dependently arisen mere appearances.
Tanda Tsava Hirab Le Katan Hiri, Jingdur Taba, Jingwa Mapa, Dora Mapa Hiri, Teda Ninga Jigwanawi.
The chapter in Nagarjuna's text that's related to this statement that there are no stains and there's no freedom from stains is the chapter on bondage and liberation. As I explained to you yesterday, a little bit about it, that's the chapter that is focusing on this part of the sutra.
Dene yang konde nyamni dan sanje de simje nyamni kazan hiyore, hiyabare, teda da ne jikwa yore.
Also, Nagarjuna's teachings in other chapters about how samsara and nirvana are equality, how Buddhas and sentient beings are equality, also come down to the same essential point.
Dene yang tsawa hirable, doycha dan chakpa takpa le, dene doycha, doycha dan chakpa takpa rabze che yore, dikapsu namda hivare, bom namda gilebi jute da hivare. Kanyisina bom namda le, doycha namba tabe, zo namba taba ne, namba tamche jembe, ishi namba tabe pardo, jachebo sumare. Te tuenda ten gombo lorup jere pe dubare. Chakpa po, da rangiji madrupa ta, chayu rangiji madrupa seno, tela tene, tene chepe, chakpa yang rangiji madrupa, trupa ta traba, do ne namba taba re sumare. Tenda wore pe dubare.
Then there's the chapter in Nagarjuna's text called An Examination of Desire and the Desirous One. And this chapter is teaching about perfect purity. The Buddha, when he taught the extensive version of the Prajnaparamita Sutras in 100,000 verses, devoted one whole chapter of that sutra to a description of perfect purity. And so the Buddha said things like, desire is perfectly pure, therefore form is perfectly pure, therefore the omniscient wisdom mind of the Buddha is perfectly pure. And he taught about the perfect purity of all phenomena in an extensive way. And Nagarjuna uses desire and the desirous one and the object of desire as the basis of his analysis and shows that these are all of the nature of perfect purity. And the way he does that is to analyze the desire and show that the desire doesn't truly exist, and to analyze the one who experiences the desire and to show that that one who experiences the desire doesn't truly exist. And therefore, the nature of the desired object or individual is also lacking in any inherent nature, is also in its true nature beyond any concept of what it might be, and therefore free from any stain, and therefore of the nature of perfect purity. The chapter is titled An Examination of Desire and the Desirous One, but the same analysis and conclusion can be applied and derived from an examination of anger, jealousy, ignorance, and pride. They're all equally of the nature of perfect purity. For example, if you, in a dream, meet an enemy and you get angry at that enemy, then the enemy is just a dependently arisen mere appearance. There's no actual enemy there. And at the same time, the one who experiences the anger does not truly exist, is just a dependently arisen mere appearance. And so if there's no one to get angry at, and there's no one there who's actually experiencing the anger, then the anger itself also doesn't truly exist. In fact, the anger is actually of the nature of clarity and emptiness. And that clarity and emptiness is perfectly pure.
Tesena Tungan Nelo, Trubada Travata, Trubada Travata la Trama Mebichani, Tene Dune, Trubada Trava Nyambani, the Duneta Vanyam Nyamni Yanki.
Therefore, all of the five poisons are actually in their true nature beyond any concept. They transcend conceptual fabrications, and from the perspective of that transcendence of fabrications being free from any stain or flaw, then they are by nature perfect purity. In the Vajrayana, the description of the five poisons being of the nature of the five wisdoms is the same, has the same basic point as what's being taught here. It's just that in the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, it's not described as the five wisdoms, but rather it's said that the essence of the five poisons is beyond concept, and therefore it is perfect
purity.
When you describe the essence of the five poisons as being luminous clarity, as being the five wisdoms, then that's a style of explanation from the third turning of the wheel of Dharma and from the Vajrayana.
Drava mepa kawa mepa tene, jisun drava mepa ta kawa mepa somore. Drava mepa kawa mepa siji the kare. Chun drava mepa, yun tin pete kawa mepa nawa hibare. Jun ten kare. Jun rankan ovu madrope sena, jun drava mebare. Tene tanda semje nelok trudra tan kada imbesena, prava meba, pedeblen deba, nelok lam pedeblen debare, ina yang kunzo de tende nantan de tando yang pedeb yibare.
There's no decrease and no increase. We could understand this to mean that nothing gets better and nothing gets worse. We could also understand it to refer to how it is that there is no need to eliminate faults or make them get any smaller, because faults have no essence of their own when you examine. And there is no need to increase qualities, because the true nature of mind is free from stains to begin with. It is perfect to begin with. So there is no decrease of faults, no increase of qualities that is necessary in the true nature of reality.
Jun Rankan Ovu Madropen, Drava Mabata, Yuntin Lenger Trippe, the King Yimbula, Yuntin Lenger Trippe, Sindro Yimbisan in Paramaba, he was a hero theory, then the Colon Barba Capso, Tanta Tenda was Higmare.
Yuntin Hungi Drupa,
Yuntin Cosom Lenger Trippe,
Yuntin Cosom Lenger, more Drima, more Drawa in Betuna, then a
Mobula Trama Mabata.
Then a Yuntan Pelgo Gimindo. The third turning of the wheel of Dharma, when it describes the true nature of mind as being the Buddha nature, makes a similar statement, but it's not quite the same. In that context, it is said that there's no need to remove any faults, because the faults have no essence of their own. It is said that there is no need to add qualities, because the qualities of enlightenment are already naturally present in the true nature of mind. Here, the difference with the second turning of the wheel's description is that It's not described that the qualities are spontaneously or naturally present. Rather, it's said that the true nature of mind is perfectly free of any stain from the very beginning. And for that reason, there's no need to add any qualities. With all of the topics that the Heart Sutra describes as being of the nature of emptiness that I mentioned to you in the beginning, the five aggregates, the 12 sources of consciousness, the 18 potentials, the 12 links of existence, and the Four Noble Truths, then we should apply the same analysis with these different reasons why they are of the nature of emptiness that are described in this second paragraph at the top of page 194. And then the meaning of emptiness will become more clear. Let's recite this paragraph together at the top of 194. The second full paragraph.
The Shariputra all phenomena are emptiness. They have no characteristics, no birth, no cessation, no stains, no freedom from stains, no decrease, and no increase.
Dene kheram nyambo te dorje tekpa wa thamje dang, tekyen ba thamje la karche mure.
The Heart of Wisdom Sutra is important to all Vajrayana practitioners. It is important to all Mahayana practitioners. For example, in the Zen tradition of Japan, then all they need actually is the Heart of Wisdom Sutra. They recite it and meditate on emptiness. In the Vajrayana, one can apply the Heart of Wisdom Sutra by making it one's profound basis for understanding the true nature of reality. And if based on that, we practice the generation and completion stage practices, then our practice will be quite profound. Now let's sing Milarepa's Authentic Portrait of the Middle Way, which in the book is on page 205. I'll sing a verse to give you an idea of the melody, and then we can all start over together from the beginning. When Milarepa gave the teachings in these songs, then he sang them. And therefore, it makes for us a good connection with Milarepa to sing them ourselves.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of the truth that's genuine, there are no ghosts, there are not even Buddhas. No meditator and no meditated. No paths and levels traveled, and no signs, and no fruition bodies, and no wisdoms, and therefore there is no nirvana there. From the standpoint of the truth that's genuine, there are no ghosts, there are not even Buddhas. No meditator and no meditated. No paths and levels traveled and no signs. And no fruition bodies and no wisdoms. And therefore there is no nirvana there. Just designations using names and statements, all animates inanimate the three realms, unborn and non-existent from the outset, no base to rest on, do not co-emerge. There is no karmic act, no maturation. So even the name samsara does not exist. That's the way these are in the final picture. But oh, if sentient beings did not exist, what would the Buddhas of three times all come from? Since fruition with no cause impossible. So the standpoint of the truth that's superficial is samsara's wheel, nirvana, past all grief. It all exists, that is the sage's teaching. Then what exists appearing to be things? And the non-existence reality that's empty are essentially inseparable, one taste. And therefore there is neither self-awareness nor awareness of what's other anywhere. All of this a union vast and spacious, and all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see pure wisdom. Do not see sentient beings, they see Buddhas. Don't see phenomena, they see their essence. And out of this compassion just emerges retention powers, fearlessness and all the qualities embodied by a Buddha. Just come as if you had a wishing jewel. This is what I, the yogi, have realized.
Tene mala rebe oma yan tabar jeban de ten sur khetur te ton tambar khorwa ta nyangin len de ba nika ma drop ten ba kunzo ton khon de nika ye par ten ba tatar je chen de na wan de Nangin tong la tong yin nawa. Nang tong dene, nang tong yin mi, malam, malam rao sumbare. Nang tong yin mi to sumbare is in a little.
The way that Milarepa teaches in this song is to first tell us how it is that neither samsara nor nirvana truly exists. Then how it is that from the perspective of apparent reality, superficial appearance, both appear to exist as dependently arisen appearances. And finally, then, how it is that the nature of the appearances that we experience right here and now in this life is that they are all the union of appearance and
emptiness. Gomba po mebe gomza meba ta gomza mebe dreza satan landa meba ta deva ko da hi yang da ba madro be jin jin je don da ba te ne nyang le te ba madro be te mare.
And the way that he teaches this in the song is a pattern that follows logically step by step. If we look at the first paragraph, the second line from the bottom says, and therefore there is no nirvana there. There is no nirvana in genuine reality because there is no self. There is no self of the individual that truly exists. Since there's no self of the individual, then there's no meditator. There can't be a meditator if there's no self. Since there's no meditator, then there's nothing to meditate on, truly. And since there's truly nothing to meditate on, then there can't be any progress of meditation. So there are no paths, no levels to progress upon, no signs of progress, because there's nothing to meditate on in the first place. And therefore, there are no bodies of enlightenment at the fruition. No wisdoms. And that's why nirvana doesn't truly exist. If you agree that there is no self in the individual, then it would be a contradiction to say at the same time that there's no self, there's a meditator who truly exists, or there's an object of meditation that truly exists. And if you then agree that there's no truly existent object of meditation, to say at the same time that there is a fruition you could accomplish from meditating on something, then that's also a contradiction. To say that there would be any appearances of truly existent enlightened wisdom or enlightened forms at the time of the fruition would also be a contradiction. It's like in the Heart of Wisdom Sutra where the sutra says there is no path, no wisdom, no attainment, no non-attainment.
Dela tene chimjo zono malare be nyangin len deba me sungbade nyangin len deba me nyangin len deba me ba yang me ho ten ro thaba janne ten ro cha kore.
So if we do subtle research into Milarepa's song by comparing it with the sutra where it says there's no attainment and there's no non-attainment, and we applied that back to Milarepa's song, then we would understand that when Milarepa sings that there's no nirvana, it also means that there is no non-existence of nirvana. There's no existence of nirvana, there's no non-existence of nirvana.
Marepa seba me, gahe me, gahe seba pado yamido. Gahe madrobare, gahe madrobase na gahe seba yamadrobare.
That's a subtle way to understand it. And if we look back at the sutra, it's the same as when it describes the 12 links of existence as and the way they are empty in the following way. There is no ignorance, nor any ending of ignorance. There is no aging and death, nor any ending of aging and death.
The name Korwa Madhubha Jumjinti comes from Tinda Yovarje Dhuni Madhubha Jevami. Yimi Linji Jeba me led and legend name, Tesser Korumi and Mason Ware. kham som do khan zo khan zo me kham ten ba no da yo wa chue dan che ba nam kham som ten da yo do ne ma do ma do pa de ma do pa de kha de ma do pa che so do ne ma do tam bo ne ma do ye ne ma do pa ma nam da wa do ne ma do pa de che wa me ba de do ne ma do che wa me ye dan za ba yo ma de ten ba no da yo wa len che de che ba yo ma de nga se yang che ba ma Ledan leje nami mi, don tamba ledan leje nami madrobe seno, teni korwa yang rangjinjima, doni madrobe. Korwa madroba maze, korwe mengta yang madrobe resore.
Then Milarepa describes how samsara is of the nature of emptiness. All animate, inanimate, the three realms. Unborn and non-existent from the outset. No base to rest on, do not co-emerge. There is no karmic act, no maturation. So even the name samsara does not exist. All animate and inanimate means the inanimate physical environment and the animate sentient beings who run around in it. In all the three realms of samsara, the desire realm, the form realm, and the formless realm are non-existent from the outset. So when did these sentient beings and this whole environment become not truly existent? At what point in time did they go from being truly existent to being not truly existent? It's not like that. Rather, they were not truly existent from the very moment that they appeared. Just like appearances in a dream. From the moment a dream appearance appears, it is empty of any inherent nature. And that's how it is with all the appearances in the three realms of samsara. They're unborn, they don't truly arise. We went over the reasons for that, that can also be applied here. They have no base to rest on, they don't co-emerge, meaning that if you look at the physical environment and the sentient beings who live in it, it's not the case that one existed before the other, nor is it the case that they can truly exist simultaneously. There is no karmic act because there is no self to perform any karmic action, and therefore there is no result of any karmic action in the true nature of reality. So even the name samsara does not exist. Not only is there no basis to which a name could be given, even the name samsara does not truly exist.
Then, le may be jumsin karasena, da may be jumsin jere. Le sabab da de pumbu nga, totam ririnian damai, totayan damai, pumbu nga le yendo yang, da madrubesena, da may bare. Da may be sena, le sabab da may ba. Dene le yong sigmare. Da le sepa po meba la le denba tropa yong sigmare. Tisena le madrobare. Le madrobe sena le jename madrobare. Le jename le da le jename madrobna ten korva madrobare. Korva daige madroba maze korva hibe ming tea tuche do yomara kor hibe kabzo. Wang me re wahi laba kabzo korva me gazare. Then in Korda Wani de Rakbari, they are two check the mevare. Junchen de Latin, Korwe Maya Madobrism. Don't. These are for you.
One could understand samsara as being the appearances that manifest due to our own karmic actions. For every individual in samsara, there are appearances manifesting as a result of karmic actions. But if you try to find out if this is really happening or not, then you have to go back and analyze the karmic action, and then you have to take one step further back and analyze the actor. And that's an analysis of the self, of the individual. And when you look at the and try to find this self who is performing these actions, then you analyze the basis to which this name self is given, which is the five aggregates that comprise body and mind. And it's clearly the case that there is no, that each aggregate individually is not the self, the body's not the self, feelings are not the self, discriminations are not the self, and so on. And it's also the case that the collection of the aggregates is not the self because there's no entity that possesses the collection. Like if you say, my body and mind, my aggregates, where is this my that is different from the aggregates? There's nothing there. It's just a mere collection. You can't find anyone who possesses it. So the self doesn't truly exist. And therefore, there's no one to actually perform any karmic actions. And if there is no one to perform any karmic actions, then there can't be any karmic actions. And there can't truly be any result of those karmic actions. So then, if there's no karmic action and no result of karmic action, there's nothing to call samsara, because that's all samsara could be. So samsara doesn't truly exist. Not only that, even the name samsara doesn't truly exist. Because the name samsara, if you look at it from the Tibetan standpoint, it's easy to analyze. It has two syllables, korwa. When you say kor, then there's no wa. By the time you get to the wa, the kor is gone. So you can't even get the name in one place. That's how it is in genuine reality.
And
this emptiness of names, the Buddha taught in the 16 emptinesses as the emptiness of all phenomena.
If
it's the case that samsara and nirvana don't truly exist, then how could there be appearances of sentient beings and Buddhas? Well, Milarepa addresses that question in the next verse in the song when he sings that just because something truly does not truly exist doesn't preclude it from appearing in apparent reality as a dependently arisen mere appearance. And that's all that the Buddhas and sentient beings and everything in samsara and nirvana are, is that they are dependently arisen mere appearances that appear due to the coming together of causes and conditions, appearances that have no inherent essence.
Dina don tambar khode ni madrobe tanta mare tanta le drobare kunzo to tende nang tan do ye be chenda mare khonde ni takhe de takhe je thalinde bare.
Since samsara and nirvana do not truly exist, then they are free in their nature from the extreme of permanence or realism. Since they are not totally non-existent, but they appear, they are free from the extreme of nihilism or extinction. In this way, their nature is free from the two extremes.
If
that's the way it is, then how do we relate to, how should we think about the present appearances that we experience in the right here and now? Milarepa answers that by singing, then what exists appearing to be things and their non-existence, reality that's empty, are essentially inseparable, one taste. Appearances are the inseparability of appearance and emptiness.
다터제 나와데 난도 이미 있나요? 심지 담아바 남제 멀랑 오마이케 바 옌도 댐바리 헨헨헨 댐바리 헨헨 댐반 댐베 세나 데네 단다 뉴몬다 동아다 데네 강은 나줘 번용을 디세는 걸과 동아도 기발
Appearances are appearance and emptiness in their true nature, but ordinary sentient beings don't realize that, and instead relate to appearances the way that one does when one dreams and doesn't know that one is dreaming, thinking that the appearances are truly existent, and therefore giving rise to all different kinds of disturbing emotions and suffering as a result of clinging to these appearances as being truly existent. And that's why samsara is described to be of the nature of suffering. Noble male and female bodhisattvas have directly realized the true nature of reality, and so they are, in contrast to ordinary sentient beings, free from clinging to things as being truly existent. Their clinging to true existence has dissolved, and so the way they experience appearances is as they actually are, as appearance and emptiness. Just like one experiences appearances in a dream when one knows that one is dreaming. And then they can do all kinds of miraculous things, just like you can in a dream when you know you're dreaming. You can sit in the middle of fire, you can dive in the middle of a rushing river of water and not get carried away. You can fly in the sky. That's how they experience life.
Then they might love the drama, bomb water, junior, the tassum, the lone, zone, carboya, my, marboya, my, drivia, my, domboya, my, last of a tricky thing. Then a tongue by young ones of the daughter, then a palmer jerbari. Then they might love drunches only, learn a royal soda yat double maple soda jar. Lu roy soda yat, ro double maba.
Machi Glabdran realized the true nature of reality by reading the Prajnaparamita Sutras about emptiness. So she read that form is not white, it's not red, it's not circular, it's not rectangular. Form is empty of any nature of its own. And she read that those teachings like that over and over, and as they are found in the 100,000 verse edition of the Prajnaparamita Sutra, which she could read all 12 volumes in one day. So she read it 30 times in a row every day for a month. And as a result of that, she realized emptiness directly, and so she became known as the Prajnaparamita Siddha, the one who realized the true nature of reality based on the Prajnaparamita Sutras. And she gave teachings like in the following song that she sang, leave your body as a corpse, leave it without any owner. Leave your is to be free of the possessiveness of ego clinging. Just like a corpse. A corpse has no ego clinging towards itself. And that's the way that we should relate to our bodies as well. And then in terms of mind, then the instruction is to leave mind like space. But not space in the sense of being an empty vacuum or mere emptiness, but rather space in the sense of being free from any conceptual reference point. Isn't that a nice verse?
Then lu roi cho do ya se je da ro la jik tin pe ro chok pa da ro ma chan pa da ro la jik tra do ta ba re ten da ba ta so ma re te jim jin de da po me pe cho do ya ro da po me pe cho do ya so de lu le dan zai ma se so e ma to lu ro da wo chok pa da jik so ro ta so te chi so ma re.
When Machik Labdrin sings, leave your body as a corpse, then she doesn't mean you should view your body in the same way people view a corpse, that you should view your body as something disgusting and frightening. She's not saying that. She's saying, view your body, leave your body as a corpse from the perspective of just as a corpse is free from ego clinging, so we should be free from ego clinging towards our body.
Semna nam ka cho de ya mek ba me ba cho de ya se ba de sem nam ka cho de ya de nga zo nam ka jian me ba tong jang ne sam do tong jang le me go go do tong jang le me go mek ba me nam san na tong jang de mek ba me ba de mek ba me ba cho de ya sa mek ba me ba zui ba de zha wa ya song ba de tong jang le mek ba ma de
ta chu 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 ga zhen
zhen chu chi le re ba o ne chu chi de se ka re sa
ma re
chu chi. Oh yeah, then nga nor song. Ne chuk chik de se ka re sang. Then nor song. Nor xin yang da lang lang ju kuk tong.
And when we leave our mind as space, then because we have a tendency to think of space as being like a vacuum or total emptiness, then we might think that do we have to focus on blank emptiness? The answer is no. Here, what it means to leave your mind as space means to leave it without any focal reference point. And I went overtime today. I made a mistake because I thought that the session ended at 11:30. But as it is said, making mistake after mistake, I walk the unmistaken path. May we live long and be free of illness, enjoy freedom, great resources, and happiness. Next life, may we meet in the pure realm. May we always practice Dharma and benefit beings.
Nime kumyang dele ching, nim sen tatu dele pa, kuncho sumje ta shi shi.